Well, no, not exactly. I'm just going to introduce myself. My name is Barbara Coleman Foster, and as you know, I'm co-chair of the REEI committee. My job really here is to just listen. I will not, I'll try not to respond or interject, but when you finish sharing your story, I may ask some follow-up questions. The only thing I do ask is that when you're ready to start, just give us your name and then proceed with your story.
My name is Elfleta DeVoe, Elfleta Hill DeVoe. I live in Georgetown, and I like to express some of the good things that was happening in our community. In the community, there was a doctor, Dr. Stark, a dentist, Dr. Anyway, during the time of my life, I lived across the street from the midwife, who were one of my grandmother. She was a relative, but I called her grandmother. And she had two daughters, Marie Frances and Clyde Walker. And after she passed away, Marie took on, she was a midwife. And within the years of her delivering babies, there were 40,000 in the neighborhood. There was a dentist who would come to help even when you didn't go to the office. For instance, one night I had a tooth pull, and I was hemorrhaging. And through the night, he lived a block away from us. And my mother went to get him, and he came even through the night to help. There was a church in our neighborhood, Church of God. And they had several different ministers because the ministers were appointed. There was a store that was across the street, was run by a gentleman, I can't remember his name now, but in our neighborhood, we were able to patronize his store. And one of the good things about him was that he loved the children, but he was very strict with us. But we would go there to buy cookies, and we would pay a penny for Jack. They were Jack cookies, and they were so big. They were really big cookies. And he would allow us to choose one with our hand. He would allow us to pick our own cookie from the container. We did have in the community, Dr. Staple had a pharmacy. We had several places for doing hair. Matter of fact, the other sister, Clyde Walker, she did hair in her home, and she built a place there where she could do the work there because she and after her mother died, they had to take over. And they fed, they cooked, and they had wooden stoves. And they cooked all delicious meals. In the yard, they had chicken. And I would go and get some of the eggs. So they had fresh food. All of the people that came there, they ate home cooked meals that was, and they were very good cooks. In the churches, we had different pastors, of course, that was within my lifetime, probably about 5 or 6 different pastors that was appointed. to that church for several years, and then they went on to different other places. We had Coley Brown, who had a fish market, and we would purchase our fish there. My mother worked at a fiber company that was located on the other side of the St. John's River. We lived actually four blocks from the St. John's River, so we were able to, we were not able to go in the park. There's a park there. We were not able to play in the park. They had, I think it was Marine, I think it was Marine, but they had a pool there, and they had places where they lived there as well, and they had a pool, but we weren't allowed, no one was allowed to, even after they moved away, blacks were not allowed to use the pool. When we had the opportunity to go to town, we never got close to whites as they passed us, and they definitely didn't want us to look at them. When we at the bus, if we traveled on the bus, we always had to sit in the back of the bus. And if you had to use the restrooms at the bus station, they had a ridiculous bathroom. It was always in the back, and it was never hardly cleaned. And any questions? So,
is there a? You mentioned a lot of people that were obviously central to the Georgetown community. Is there a particular place that stands out? Maybe coming together.
Churches was the main place for gathering during that time. And we would have conventions and we would go from district to district. And then we would have conventions that were just, you know, churches would just kind of get together. The amazing thing about it was everybody would cook their own food and go to the convention. And when it was time to eat, everybody would go and get food from the trunk of the car. And I don't think we could do that today. The food was just that good, and it was not, you know, it wasn't like the food that we have today. We were able to go and eat that food cooked. I mean, chicken, mashed potatoes, greens, all kinds of good dishes, and we were able to eat it, and it wasn't spoiled. Today, I don't think we could do that.
So, today we focused a lot on Goldsboro. We talked about the relationship between Georgetown and Goldsboro.
In terms of blacks, we had a good relationship because we used to go to the Castleberry Project, and we would have dances on every weekend. So we would come from all over, Oviedo, Sanford, you know, I mean, Georgetown, you know, from everywhere. Our parents would allow us to. we did have fun, and we knew each other because we went to Froom together, so we knew each other.
You graduated from Froom as well?
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't mind.
Yeah, in 1961. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I went to Hopper Elementary from first through six and seven through 12 in Croom.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today. I certainly appreciate you coming out. Mm-hmm. It will go a long way. So what we're doing in capturing these stories that will really serve two purposes. One is to help inform the design of the aspect of the neighborhood of the city of Southeast Georgia. And then what we're doing with the audio recording, potentially the snippets might be used to add some depth and narrative to the film. So our vision is that when people come to visit, we'll, there'll be a code that they can scan, and then that'll take